I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Living in the riches of my Lord and King, I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Committed to Him in everything, I do believe He'll come again. And I know one thing I'm gonna do till then is learn to live in the blessing of Abraham.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Covenant Living broadcast today. Praise God. Glory to God. It's good to be here.
It is.
It's good for you to be here. I'm David Weeder. This is Lynn Weeder. And we are enjoying our time in the Word together. Come on in. Join us. And let's get some studying done today. All right? Father, we thank You for an opportunity for the Word to go all over the world today. We're so grateful and so honored that You would allow us to be involved in spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the planet and preaching this word of faith, for then the end shall come. And it is the word of faith, the inaction and the enabling of the Word mixed with faith that protects and delivers people right in the middle of everything that's going on this planet in these last days. And we're grateful to be a part of providing that to people, loving people, teaching them how to have victory in every area of their lives. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Well, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we're glad you found us. And we are in the middle of a study on the armor and the weaponry of God that is ours. You put that armor on, Satan can't tell whether it's God Himself in there unless you slip up and speak words of doubt or fear or something. Let the cat out of the bag. No, as far as he knows, he's about to get his slats kicked all over again. Praise God, he wouldn't dare come against you, and he can't successively come against you as long as you get the armor in place, you get the shield down, you're speaking the word, and it's all good. As they say, it's all good in the neighborhood. It's all good in your life and in your family and in your ministry and your business, because it's the word. John 17 says that it is the word. You shall know the truth. John 8 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, that word free means exempt. Well, exempt from what? Well, he goes on and says in John 17 that he prays to the Father not that we be taken out of the world, but that we be kept from the evil in the world. Well, hey, have you looked around this earth today? There's some evil going on around. But His whole will, His whole desire, His whole plan, and everything Jesus did was so that you could live exempt from inflation, exempt from COVID, exempt from any other pandemic they dream up, exempt from all of these things, exempt from mental illness and disease, exempt from chaos and stress and worry, exempt from everything that's not of God. But you have to learn how to use it and put it to work on purpose. And that's what this program and many others similar is all about, is teaching you how to do that. Hallelujah. So let's turn over to our golden text in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going through the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God, in light of and keeping in our mind the fact that 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds of thoughts and imaginations. You know, that's how Satan gains entry, is bringing thoughts and imaginations. You pull up to that gas pump and you see the price, and, you know, it's not just a matter of seeing the price. Then the thought comes through. Are you going to be able to afford this? Well, if you get a full tank, will you have money to buy groceries tomorrow? Will you have rent the week after that? Maybe you better just get a quarter tank. And all these thoughts, fear, worry, stress. Well, we have a whole set of armor and weapons for casting down those imaginations and those thoughts that go against the Word of God. Well, Brother David, how does that go against the Word of God? Because the truth, the Word says, my God, Philippians 4, 19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Well, those two aren't compatible. My God shall supply all your needs are not compatible with, well, I need gas, but maybe I should just hold down a little bit because then I won't have rent, or maybe I won't have groceries, or something like
that. And there's a difference in that version, the worried version, and the God saying, okay, right now, get $20 here. All right, next step is you're going to buy 3 days' worth of groceries. Next step is, and giving you the piece by piece directions. Mm-hmm. Okay, do this, do that. Okay, yep. All right, now you can fill up your gas tank. That's different than the, oh my gosh, maybe I won't be able to.
Yeah, there's fear in one, there's not in other. Right. It's just a matter of fact set of instructions. Mm-hmm. He's got the strategy.
Right.
You know, I can remember a time in our lives when we were not living like we should. And it had gotten to the point, and we had pressed things to the point where the Lord actually spoke to us audibly. We were both in the car, and we both heard identically the same words. And the words were, you have gone as far as you're going to go doing what you're doing. And we both knew that
there were some
major consequences involved if we continued doing what we were doing. But there wasn't an ounce of fear in it.
No.
There was just no fear. It was just a matter-of-fact statement, and it was a supplying of information. He was just telling us, you know, but there was no fear involved. It was the most amazing thing. Well, that's how you can tell the difference between God preparing you for something and Satan trying to get you to worry and fear and engage fear to bring it to pass. He's trying to get that into your life. Mm-hmm. And so that's the main difference. It could even be the same. It could be a similar strategy. You know, it says Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He might come across like he's, you know, trying to prepare you, but there'll always be that fear there. There'll mm-hmm. always be that fear there. He can't help it. He is fear. He is the spirit of fear. So let's look back here at our the weapons of our warfare, and we'll just read down through them, and then we'll go back to where we are today. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not 99% of them, all of them. And the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Glory to God. Now, we have, over the past several weeks, we've covered some of this, and now today we're down to above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, God does not back away from using the word all.
He used a lot.
He doesn't say, well, maybe we need to leave a little room for, you know, no, all. Now, when he says above all, he means above all. That's why faith is so important. Let me read you some reasons why we preach the word of faith. Why study faith? Well, number one, it is impossible to please God without faith. That's in Hebrews 11:6. Ephesians 2:8 says you can't be saved without faith. You can't walk the Christian walk without faith, according to 2 Corinthians 5:6 and 7. You can't fight the Christian fight without faith. That's 1 Timothy 6:12 and 2 Timothy 4:7. And by the way, both of those books are instruction manuals to a minister of the gospel from his spiritual father, Paul. You can't fight the Christian fight without faith. Number five, you can't overcome the world without faith, according to 1 John 5:1 through 4. According to Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. That's a pretty good reason to live by faith. Number seven, you can't stand without faith, 2 Corinthians 1:24 and Romans 11:20. The gift of righteousness is by faith, Romans 11:6, Romans 3:22 and Romans 1:17. Number nine, you cannot function in grace without faith, Romans 4:16, Ephesians 2:8, and Romans 5:1-2. Number 10, the word does you no good without faith. Hebrews 4:2 and 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Number 11, you can't live the Christian life without faith. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, Habakkuk 2:4. Just number 12, you cannot quench the fiery darts of the wicked without faith, Ephesians 6:16, and you cannot receive the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of the Lord, without faith, Galatians 3:13 through 14. Above all, taking the shield of faith, praise God. So, since it's above all, and it is very, very important, let's spend a little time finding out about it, how it works, why it works, and things like that. Now, obviously, we are not going to cover this in one broadcast. So we are going to briefly do an overview because, like we said, we're looking at it from the standpoint of it being part of our armor in dealing with thoughts and imaginations, because you can't deal with thoughts and imaginations just in the thought realm. You have to apply the word and faith for the pulling down of those strongholds. So one of the most important things to know about it is found in Galatians. Let me get my stuff in order here. All right. Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn over there. You have it already?
I do.
Would you go ahead and read it?
For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love.
Okay, so let's make this really simple. Car works by gas. No gas, car no run. Faith works by love. No love, faith no work. Okay? It's just that simple. If you're not walking and living in love, your faith will be unproductive. It just doesn't work. So if you find yourself trying to walk by faith and it ain't working, number one place to look is your love walk. Make sure you're walking and living in love.
And sometimes you'll see things working in one area but not another. And so it can be those different areas of, was there somebody else's faith involved? Is there some sort of, like, the gift of healing involved where somebody was healed there? But look at your life. Where are you struggling? Look and see if there is something attached there with the love walk.
For one of the examples that she was talking about there, I actually knew a man and was close enough to the situation to observe for a long time, and healing always happened. I mean, he'd lay his hands on, I saw miracles and healings and deliverances and things like that. But at the same time, I saw the same individual believe for financial prosperity and nothing happened. I mean, the opposite happened. He went further and further and further down. And I struggled with that for a while because I couldn't figure out because, as far as he concerned, it was faith in both situations. And my spiritual father turned the light on for me one day about it, and then I looked it up in the scriptures and verified it, of course. The scripture says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. There can be someone who operates in the gifts of healing, and it doesn't really involve their faith all that much. The gifts are as the Spirit wills, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so you can see someone who operates in the gifts of healing, and there'll be wonderful, tremendous healings take place. But at the same time, if they're having to actually use their faith for financial prosperity, but they don't walk and live in love, then their faith won't work and you won't see the fruits of the financial prosperity. And so that's where you can, that's kind of what she was talking about. It's an illustration of what she was talking about. You can see examples of success in one area, if it's specific, especially if it's a gifting that that person is walking in, but not another. You need to check on your love walk. Need to check on that love walk. Make sure your faith is fully functional. Now, let's go back. How does faith come? How do you get faith? Well, the answer is in Romans chapter 10, and I just almost can't help but read the whole thing, but I won't. verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. You hear the word, faith comes. You hear the word, faith comes. But there is a little bit of a caveat here, if you back up a little bit. And it talks about, let's see, we shall look at, begin with verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Okay, so there's no belief, there's no faith. And how shall they believe in him which they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? They can't do any of that. Now listen, how shall they preach except they be sent? They are sent to preach. They're ordained, they're anointed. It must be the anointed preaching of teaching of the word. Now that doesn't mean, it also counts reading the word with the Holy Spirit reading to you, but you have to release your faith for that. Now, let me show you the other side so you know, you can see what I'm talking about. There are churches all over this world that they teach more religion than word. They're reading scripture, but there's not a drop of anointing in it anywhere. I've heard Bible preached in fear. I've heard it preached in doubt. I've heard it preached with worry. I've heard it preached with unbelief. If it's not preached with faith, if it's not preached under the anointing, faith doesn't come. I've heard scripture read. I'll put it that way. I've heard scripture read and people be just as sick as everyone else in the world, just as poor as everyone else in the world, have family problems just like everyone else in the world. It's not anything. Well, the answer for that, just real quick, it's not in the notes, but the answer for that is in Hebrews chapter 4. Well, you know, it says the word, faith comes by the word. Well, yeah, but it's got to be preached and it's got to be mixed. Look here in Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Doesn't do a lick of good. Now, notice it said in them that heard it. There are instances, even in those unbelieving churches, where the scripture was read, but an individual in that church
grabbed it
and mixed it with faith, and it started producing, and they kept mixing it with faith, and they kept reaching and seeking the word and studying it and letting the Holy Spirit teach it and preach it to them. You know, faith comes then. And when they usually get invited to leave that particular church, but that's okay. That's all right. It's producing in their life, and they'll be able to perpetuate it in other people's lives. And I just did not intend to go there anywhere.
Well, and along these lines about faith comes by hearing, we talked earlier about if you're seeing results in one area but not another, here's another place to look. You've checked your love walk. You've asked God to show you anything. All right, that's good. Next is, are you studying the word that talks about that area that you need improvement in? Mm-hmm. Look at it, because you can have great faith for salvation and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to get is salvation in those around you. And that absolutely is important, helping people make heaven their permanent home. But there's so many other things. There's health. Okay, well then, we've also had another movement of healing where people can absolutely get that healing coming alive. Okay, great. Now, let's start looking at prosperity. It's one of the things that people have been resistant to because you have seen some people abuse that. But at the same time, you're using those resources to reach more people.
Yeah. Faith for healing comes by hearing the word of God on healing. Faith for prosperity comes from hearing the word of God on prosperity. Faith for salvation comes from hearing the word of God about salvation. And so if you're constantly only looking at one thing, you'll have great faith in that, but you may need to be doing some checking. Oh, do I need to be studying over here? Do I need to be listening to some anointing teaching on this subject? And yeah, you probably do.
Anointing on wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you handle these things?
It is the principal thing. Okay, so let's get back in. So we looked at how faith comes. What is faith? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read it in the Classic Amplified. It's just so wonderful. Hebrews chapter 11 is basically the definition of what faith is. As a matter of fact, the first three words are, now faith is. So it's about to tell us exactly what it is. Now faith is the assurance. It is the confirmation. It is the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses yet. Now, if you stay in faith, receiving it as real fact, it'll be revealed to the senses before too long. It'll manifest in physical materiality. So that is what faith is, and I like combining it with the King James as well, because the King James talks about hope. And there is a difference between hope and faith. And a lot of it has to do with time. Mm-hmm. I hope to get something or another. That means that sometime in the future, I sure hope that this happens. Now, faith is. Faith is, I have it right now. Well, you can't say that. You don't have it. Yes, I do. This is the truth. It may be a fact that I don't have it in my hands yet, but the truth is I have it. And if I stick with the truth, it will manifest into the fact in my hand.
Well, we recently had a great example of that.
Absolutely.
We were blessed. We were given the finances to get a new motorcycle. We found the particular one we wanted, but it was in another state. And so we called them and said, we want that motorcycle. And they said, okay.
It's yours.
And so it took us a week to get up there and get it. But that whole week, there was this sign on that motorcycle that said sold, because it was already ours.
I had not given them any money yet. They had not given me the paper title that says it was mine, but they put a sold sign on it because it was mine. Mm-hmm. That's faith. Hey, you release faith for your healing, it's yours. There's a sold sign on that healing because it belongs to you. It belongs to me. It belongs to you. It belongs to whoever has released their faith for it. Now, there may be a time period like there was with the motorcycle where you can't see it. We didn't see it. We didn't even have a picture of it at first, but it was ours.
Yeah.
And the time period passed, and hey.
We took possession.
We went up there and rode that sweet thing out of the dealership. Praise God. Faith is the assurance. It is the confirmation. It is the title deed of the things we hope for. We hoped for it. There was years that I wanted a motorcycle. I wanted this particular brand of motorcycle. Someday I'm going to have this motorcycle. That's hope. Then there came a time where I bought a shirt the same type, and I released my faith. Now, as far as the spiritual things go, that motorcycle was mine that day. I put corresponding action to it as the Lord led me. I bought that shirt, and every time I wore that shirt, I thank you, Father, for that new motorcycle. It is so fun to ride. It was mine right then. Then a little more time passed, and that dealership even recognized and agreed, yeah, that's your motorcycle, and they put that sold sign on it. Then a little more time passed off, and I rode that out. That's a picture, and that's the difference between hope and faith. Now faith is, blessed God, hallelujah. And we just used up all of our time for today, and not even halfway through the faith part yet.
Well, it does take us a little longer to walk our way through faith.
It's one of my favorite subjects.
It's because it's our heritage.
Heritage. That is our heritage.
And what we're instructed to teach on.
Absolutely. Hey, does this stuff excite you like it does us? Well, if it doesn't, just stick around. It'll get on you. It'll jump right on you. I tell you, it will. Don't go anywhere, though, because I want you to watch something, and then we'll be right back.
The Diamond in Your Household of Faith is a must-read for every man and woman, married or planning to be married. Dr. David Weider writes in great detail to help you understand the worth and value of one of God's greatest gifts. He takes complex biblical truths and makes them easy to understand for every reader. You'll learn not only how valuable, but also how strong the virtuous, prudent, and good wife is in the sight of God. It elevates the woman to a place of honor that her Heavenly Father intended. David Weider breaks through incorrect religious doctrine by allowing the Bible to interpret the Bible and bringing context to Scripture references often void of it. It is only through this truth that we can truly be powerful and effective in our prayers and entire lives. Find out the secret to a healthy, amazing marriage in The Diamond in Your Household of Faith. Order your copy today at davidweider.org.
All right, now I know what you may be thinking. What does riding a motorcycle have to do with the book on love? Well, it's got a lot to do with it. Number one, it's something that we enjoy doing together. And we lead fairly busy lives, and we enjoy getting on that motorcycle and just the two of us, just her and me. It doesn't have a sidecar. It's just the two of us. And we can get away and have some time together and love on one another. If you are using, or if you are attempting to use faith for your marriage and you don't check up on love walk, then there's no power to the faith. So you've got to make sure that you're walking in love. And it takes two. Both of you got to be committed, but one of you can be an influence because love never fails. So just dig into that book. It'll bless you. And I tell you, another thing it'll do too is it'll open you up to the power in that woman that is walking beside you, man, and the God-ordained anointing on her, on the woman, on the true virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. It may not be what you always thought it was, but I'll guarantee you one thing. It involves love because it involves God, and He loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, partners and friends, for helping make this broadcast possible. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram. You can also listen to our broadcast on iTunes. For more information about our ministry, contact us at davidweider.org or call us at 1-800-988-5380. Join us again next time on the Covenant Living Broadcast.